God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, thanks. And now I'll have Brenda read our daily Alateen reading.
Hello. When I was younger, I thought life was peaches and cream. Now I see that it's more like frozen strawberries. I've had to go through hell just to get the strawberries thawed. The screaming and shouting, the hurting feelings and broken promises. It hasn't been easy, but I've got the program and it's helping me to cope. Sometimes I feel like Dad still doesn't care much about me. I always get so nervous in front of people. Mom tries to smother me, and my brother is only interested in himself. But now I realize we've all been affected by alcoholism, and I can only help myself. I can handle things at home most of the time, but if they start to get me down, I get a lot of support from my new family, my friends in Alateen. Things to think about. Living with alcoholism isn't easy. There are some tough times, and I can always make it through them alone. That's okay. I can call on my Alateen friends, and they'll help me find the strength I need.
Hello, my name is Sherry.
Hi.
I had this great introduction planned, but then I found out I don't get a gift, so... There's just no way. So it's going to be short and sweet. Three people speaking today, two of them, one is my sister and the others just like my sister. And I'm really nervous for them all three. I'm going to start crying too. But that's different. I'm really happy to see such a big crowd because we were worried that a lot of people wouldn't show up. Because these kids here speaking all have different stories, but the feelings are the same. And just like you. And even though your kids aren't up here speaking, these are your kids because they felt the same feelings your kids have felt. And I'd just like to say that our first speaker today is Lori Tyler, who is just like my sister.
I can't see. Not really. Minutes, but really more. Okay. My name is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
And I'm very nervous. Okay. I feel so tall.
Listen here.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna do this. If you see me start dancing, I got this music going in my head. Okay. 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 Huh?
I'm sorry.
Okay, I've been an Alateen for probably 3 years or so, because this is my third conference. And for some reason, I have in my head that I started in October, but I think maybe I just copied off of somebody or something, because I really don't know when I started, but I think I've been in for 3 years. And, where do I start? Okay, this is my third conference, okay? And this is the, now I'm going to make those sounds. This is the second time I've given a lead, and the first one I cried the whole way through, and I actually haven't cried yet, but there's still time. Okay. I guess I should start by telling you that my father is an alcoholic. And, of course, it's always been hard, but I guess I'll start when I was young. That's usually where we all start. One time, I asked my mom, I said, you know, after I got into Alateen and I realized my dad was an alcoholic, I said, well, Mom, didn't you see that Dad drank a lot and all this stuff? And she goes, well, he didn't start drinking until about 3 months into the marriage. And I said, oh, Lord, why didn't you get out then, you know? But, of course, she was in love. And when... Oh, Lord. Okay. And so, I guess my mom, she came from not really an alcoholic family, but both of her parents have been heavy drinkers in their life. And my dad, his grandpa raised him, and his grandpa was an alcoholic. And I've heard these stories. I don't know if they're true, but they said that that my grandpa, my dad's grandpa, he's my great-grandpa, had so many beer cans that he could live off the recycling money alone or something. But I don't know. They said he used to have a mountain behind his house. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know where I'm at. So anyway, okay, my earliest memories of my dad drinking were, I can't remember how I felt because, you know, you're little and you really don't have feelings, but I mean, well, you do, but I can't remember. But I used to think that my mom was the reason that, because when my dad drank, he would beat her, too. And I used to think that's all my mom's fault, because at night, all you could hear was my mom going, hey, what are you doing? And he'd be going, well, I'm not doing anything. And so I said, well, look at my mom. She's yelling at my dad, and he's not even doing anything. But, of course, he didn't talk loud, so you could never hear him. So I thought it was all my mom's fault, but it's not like I didn't hate her for it. Me and my mom, they used to call us Siamese twins because I was everywhere with her. We were connected at the hip. And I didn't hate her or anything. I just said, well, if she quit yelling, then he'd be good or something. But then one night I do remember, I laugh about this now, but back then, I think I still was mad. I was mad back then, but I think it's funny now. One night my grandma and my uncle lived with us, and one night my dad came home drunk and decided that he didn't want anyone to live with us. Because, like, they lived with us because, like, we were kind of like the wealthy people of the family. So he came home, and it was, do you guys remember the snow of 78 or something? But anyway, in West Virginia, it was this tall. Well, you know. Anyway, he decided no one was going to live with us, and it was the dead of winter, and so he piled Mama and my uncle up in the truck, took them home, and he went down to, we lived on this hill, so he went down the hill, and he decided to get a gun and shoot up my mom's car so she couldn't leave because when he came back, he was going to finish her off, he said. But, of course, I didn't know that till later, but so my mom, she was very scared, of course. And she got me and my brother up out of bed. It was probably about 12 at night or something. And we had to go down this hill and over the creek and up another hill to get to our neighbor's house. They were the closest neighbors because we lived out in the boonies. And so we got our stuff on. And the only thing I can remember, my mom was scared to death. My brother, he was probably in the fourth grade, and I was probably, I don't know if he was that old, but I was young, about 4 or 5. The only thing I can remember was in the snow, I forgot to wear socks with my snow boots, and my feet were getting dirt and snow in them, and that's the only thing that made me mad. I didn't care about anything else, just my snow boots. And so after that, we came home the next day, and my mom's clothes were everywhere, and I said, well, look what Mom did. Yelled at him, made him do this. And so finally, after after another year, we divorce my dad. Well, but it wasn't really like they were divorced because my dad decided to keep all the money. And so he told us we'd never have anything. So we had to live with him a year after that because no one else would let us get an apartment because my mom always went and said, now look, I got this crazy husband. He'll come and kill me if he knows I'm living here. Won't you give me an apartment? So there was just no way. So finally, you know, she bugged these people to death. We got an apartment. And for 4 years after that, I never saw my dad or heard from him at all. But I remember I kind of hated him because I kept saying, well, everybody else at school has a dad. And I just said, they'd say, oh, what about your dad? And I'd say, oh, my dad, he's at this big thing and he's not home right now and all this stuff. You had to kind of make up stories because nobody knew where he was. So we were not the richest people on the block at all whatsoever. And lost my train of thought. Sorry. After 4 years after that, my dad called, and of course the way to get to our hearts was through money. So he said, I have some money. Let me come and stay with you. And, oh, come on. And so even though, you know, he was bad, he'd come over drunk, he'd call anytime he wanted. We needed the money, we needed food, so here he'd come. And even though he gave us money for food, he ate it all up, and we still didn't have any. So finally, he just kept drinking, kept getting worse. Then his dad died and left him property, and so he moved in the house out where the house was. And, he still drank and everything and kept on drinking. And if he ever needed us, he'd call and say, I have some money. Let me come over. We'd say, come on, give us money, leave. And, okay, then all of a sudden, I'm just going to skip to junior high because that's what I can remember. When I was in junior high is when my dad stayed drunk for probably the 3 years that I was in junior high. But he was just awful. And I don't know what I was doing then. I really don't know. It was just, I don't know. But it was when he worked at this big chemical plant that we had, and they were talking about layoffs. And because someone was going to take it over. And so my dad, he just kept on drinking and drinking. And one day he decided that he didn't like his boss, so he decided to choke his boss. And he didn't succeed, though. And so they told him that he had to go to Russellville, Kentucky place for treatment. And I thought, oh, good, at least he'll never drink again. It'll be fine. He'll never drink again. Was I wrong? he got out of there, and he called my mom, and he said, I just got out of the hospital, and I need a place to stay where I know that I won't be able to drink and all this stuff. So she said, you got money? He said, yeah. She said, come over. Even though he'd almost drank up all of his money, because my dad is really smart, and but his alcohol makes him dumb. So he came over, he stayed with us for 3 or 4 months, and I think during this time, my mom was resentful. And she was crazy. All she did, she wanted the money because we needed it. Maybe she was a little bit greedy. I'm just kidding. But we needed money, so she'd let him stay. But the whole time she would yell at him. She'd yell at me and my brother. And if you saw her coming, you just better get out of the way because she was like anger just running through the halls with feet, anger with feet or something. And so finally my dad, he moved out again. We didn't really stay with us. He was just there most of the time and was gone. I don't know. Anyway, first, this is so much easier than that first time. So finally, he, right before he got laid off at work, he was still drinking, going to work drunk, but our family was okay. Me and my mom, she just yelled at us because she was mad at work or something like that, but it wasn't because of my dad, at least I didn't think so yet. And so finally he was at work one day and he lifted something and he pulled his bike out of place, and so he went to the hospital, you know, and of course the best way to get rid of pain is to give some pills. So he decided that he was going to take the pills to make him feel better, and what better else to wash the pills down with than beer. So he was taking pills and beer and more pills and more beer and more pills and more beer. And he just got really bad. I mean, he wasn't in his right mind anymore because he stayed drunk for months and on the pills for months. And we felt sorry for him. So and by this time, he was out of money. Well, I didn't think so, but he said he was. But my dad never told a lie. But anyway, he was on these pills, and I think I was in the eighth grade, and, eighth grade, and he got laid off. He was on the pills, and, what did he do? It's a number of things. I forgot where I was. I'm losing time. Anyway, I can't quit. Okay, anyway, and finally it got so bad, you know, we felt sorry for him. He came over, he was taking pills. He puked all over the place, or really all over my mom, because all of a sudden he goes, "Patty," here it came. So she was, "Oh, Lord." But, and I mean, I could laugh about that now, but, it, back then, I was going, "Oh my God, I just don't believe this." I just couldn't believe that this was my dad. He was such a smart man, and he was wasted, you know. And that night that he was there, he decided he was hungry. So Mom had fixed some chicken that day. So we gave him a piece of chicken on the breast, piece of chicken. He gave us back the plate. We looked over, he was crunching bones. He had eaten the chicken and the bones. Threw up and said, "Oh, give me some more of those pills and that beer. It'll keep me from throwing up." We said, "Okay," because, you know, there was nothing we could do. And then finally my mom just got so bad. And she and my brother, they were at each other's throats every day. I mean, it was really bad. And my mom asked my brother to stay with my dad because he was getting ready to hit her. My brother was going to hit my mom. He didn't do it, but she just freaked out. And so I was always there. If they would get in a bad fight, I would start crying to make them look like I was upset so they would stop fighting. Then they'd come and say, "It's all right, Lori, it's all right." Or I would, if that didn't work, then I'd go in my room and everything. And then finally my brother, he lived with my dad for a while, and the whole time he was there, my mom cried. Said, "Oh, how could he do this to me? Go and live with your dad. He just doesn't love me." And I said, "Mom, you're the one that sent him there, you know?" And she said, "No, I didn't. He wanted to go." And it was just awful. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I just went to school every day. But it was weird because it never affected my schoolwork at all. I mean, I've always had good grades. And it seemed like if Dad was drinking, then I would do better at school or something because it would make me concentrate more. So my brother, he lived with my dad, and my mom cried so much she asked him to come back. And then the first day he was back, they got in a fight, so he went back and lived with my dad. And then when my dad, he was still taking the pills and drinking, he had slightly went crazy. And in one night, he blew up my uncle's car and got burned up, then got in his truck, wrecked into the creek, then went and got in his Datsun 280ZX and wrecked it into a telephone pole all in one night. And I was just freaked out. I couldn't believe that my dad, the smart man, the man that knew everything, had done this. I said, "No, it's, you know, what's his problem, you know?" And finally, my dad, he decided to go in. It was one of the hospitals that, wherever we are in South Boston, and to get help. And I thought, good, he won't drink anymore, it'll be fine. But my mom, she, even though it was in the hospital, she still was so affected by it, by him, his attitude or his way, whatever, that she needs Al-Anon. She's not in the program, but she needs to be. And she was just going off on us. You could say, Mom, what time do you work? What do you mean, what time do I work? What time do I work every day? Sorry, you know. You just couldn't ask her anything. You couldn't talk to her. And finally, me and my brother got so bad. We were just, like, so crazy. We didn't know where we were going. My brother, it was his senior year of high school. He was crazy. I'm sure no one knew that, though, but he was crazy. And I hated my dad so much because he had done this to us. He wanted to live with us, and he did this, and he came over, and he embarrassed me, and I never had friends spend the night or anything because I didn't know if my dad was going to be calling in the middle of the night or what, so I never had friends over. Then finally, this is something that my mom doesn't know yet, and I'm sure when she hears this tape, she's going to find out. But 15 minutes before I did my last lead, I found out that my mom called Katie and asked her to get me and my brother help. Probably my brother mostly because it was just a constant fight between him and my mom. And, hello, Mother, I bet you didn't know that, did you? So she's going to say that, Katie, she told on me. But I'm glad she did because now, Katie kept asking me and my brother to go to this Monday night meeting. She said it's really good, blah, 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 blah. And we said, we have too much homework. She said, next week, can you come? No, there's something on TV. She kept asking us to come, and finally me and Mark said, she is not going to quit bugging us. And so we made this deal. He said, I'll go if you'll go. And I said, well, okay. So Katie asked us, and so we decided to go, and we just sat there. And I really didn't want to go because I was so afraid that I would see somebody that I knew, because at school, I was like Miss Martinus and hi everybody and cheery, and everybody said, oh, you're just so friendly, but nobody knew how it was at home. So I said, well. So I didn't want anybody to know that my dad had a problem. And plus, I couldn't believe Katie was calling my dad an alcoholic. I mean, that was just outrageous. He only drinks, he pukes everywhere, he's taking pills, he's doing all this, but he's not an alcoholic. And plus I thought, well, you know, my dad doesn't live with me. My parents are divorced. Why is she wanting me to go to this? I'm not affected by it. And so finally, we went. I didn't see anybody I knew, but I saw this real cute guy. He was sitting in the corner, and I just kept my eyes on him, I kept my eyes on everybody, making sure that they didn't even know my face and making sure I didn't see them anywhere. And, you know, there was this lady there, and she was really she was an adult child of an alcoholic. She was a sponsor, and she was, there, and she was telling us stories, and I said, well, hey, my dad used to do that one time. And, I could relate to some of her stories, so I said, well, I might come back, blah, 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 plus that cute guy. And, well, let me tell you, that cute guy has never been back there since I went the first time. So I think, I'm not sure about this. I haven't got it out of Katie yet, but I think she hired him. If you want your kids to come to Alateen, tell them there's a cute guy or girl. So, my brother didn't go back because I guess it wasn't for him. But I kept going back, And I've learned to work out my problems with my mom and my dad. I haven't seen my dad for probably my whole 10th grade year, but I mean, it's not like it matters to me, but I do love him now. And I know that through all those years that it was his alcoholism. And I like Alateen. I keep going because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I can tell when I need a meeting. And when me and my mom have fights and I just start saying things back to her, I think, oh my gosh, I haven't done this for 2 months. I bet she's freaking or something. But my mom's not an Al-Anon because she still says to this day, I'm not affected by what your dad used to do to me. And I've left literature around and all that stuff, but she says, oh, you know, that's not for me. And I was thinking about bribing her, saying, Mom, you come to Al-Anon one night and I'll take you McDonald's afterwards. But, you know. But I haven't done that yet. Got to get some money saved up. But, you know, I think my mom has seen a change in me too, because usually when we have fights now, well, not lately, because I haven't been really keeping to the program well. But I usually just, if she starts fighting with me and I know that it's not my problem, and or if she's laying her problems on me, I know I have to take care of myself first, and I know that I come first. And, you know, if she's yelling at me for something I know that I really have no idea what she's talking about, I just agree with her. That's my way of doing it. And she gets so mad at that, but that's her problem. And it's made me love my mom and dad both equally. You know, even though my mom, that's usually our main fight, is she says, how could you love a man that did that to me? And I say, Alateen. And she says, but one of these days I'm going to get her in the program. She's going to find out the stuff that I've learned. And I had a good ending and I forgot it. I like Alateen. I like Alateen. it's been a good 3 years, and I'm glad that Katie got me into it. I'm glad my mom called her. I'm glad I have my two best friends over there. And I'm here. And I made it.
My name's Megan.
Hi.
And I'm 15. I'm so embarrassed. Okay, to start this out, of course, my dad's an alcoholic. And I hear a lot of people saying things like, oh, my dad's not an alcoholic before they recovered. And I was never like that. My mom said to me, your dad's an alcoholic. And I said, oh, thank God there's an excuse for this. I mean, I was so glad. There's a difference between my childhood memories before my dad started drinking, when was I was about 10 when he started drinking, and after. I would say before it was like the Brady Bunch, I remember. We were like this happy little family, and everybody got along, yay, yay. And then afterwards, Lori gave me this idea, it was like the Addams Family. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine what it was like. I remember the first night my dad ever came home drunk. I was a 10-year-old kid, had never seen anybody drunk in my life. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. I didn't know how to deal with it. So I asked him to come into my room, and I was trying to be all cheery and make him smile and make him happy, and it didn't work. He just laughed and thought I was stupid. So I figured out another way to handle my dad's drinking, and I became completely numb. I mean, I didn't have any feeling whatsoever. The way I describe it is I was kind of like behind a window, and here was my family. My mom, she was a complete basket case. And my sister, she was just like so full of anger. She hated my dad. And my dad was the alcoholic, so, you know, everything was his fault. And But I was behind this window, and whenever things weren't going good, I could just like turn around, and I didn't have to see it, and I didn't have to deal with it. I could just go to my room, and everything was great. And the morning after, everybody else would be looking at my dad, sneering and all mad. But with me, it wasn't like that. I was just, "Hi, Dad," and everything was great with me. I was fine. And, well, I'm pretty sure my sister kind of thought that I just wasn't affected by it at all. I didn't have any feelings, and I really didn't. She said to me before I gave this, she said, "Go up there and talk about feelings more than facts." And I thought, how can I do that? I didn't have any. So how can I talk about my feelings? And, so I remember this one night. This is another example of my feelinglessness. My dad got like a shotgun after my mom and something, and it was just like a soap opera. We all trudged out in big snow, and we turned on the car, and it wouldn't start. So we walked up this big hill, and my sister fell flat on her face, and she was screaming, "Oh, I hate him, I hate him." And my mom was just like, "Oh," and she was just freaking out. And all I could think was, he made us leave, and now I can't watch the end of Officer and a Gentleman. That's my favorite movie. I was so mad. I didn't care that he was drunk. Oh, well, the police would come and get him, and everything would be better. I wouldn't have to worry about it the next day. And I was just so embarrassed to tell my parents or my mom or my sister that I had any kind of feeling. Once I saw him, he had gone on one of his little adventures or whatever and wouldn't come back for like 4 days or something. And I saw him. I saw where he was staying. I knew where he was. And instead of telling my mom and my sister so they wouldn't have to worry, I was too embarrassed. So I just didn't tell him. And I just went around with all these feelings inside myself and just like wouldn't tell him anything. And my mom said she was going to divorce him a couple times and all this stuff, and it didn't bother me. I didn't care which way or the other. She could divorce him or stay with him. It wasn't affecting me, right? I mean, I was too young to deal with it. Even though I was so dying for, my sister had therapy, and I was like wanting therapy so bad, but I wasn't going to tell anybody. I don't even know why I wanted it. It seemed like I'd be spending her money, and that'd be kind of fun. With my friends, since I didn't have my own feelings, I had to have my friends' feelings. Like, when my friends got upset, I was always the one to cry along with them, and I would get upset for them. I get more upset than Lori does when something happens to her, and it's because I had to, like, cling to somebody else's feelings because I didn't know my own. They had been trapped up inside of myself for so long, I just forgot what they were. And so I still cry for Lori to this day, but yeah. And one day my mom, well, she got into the program, and it seemed like my house was getting so much better just by my mom going. My dad had been to a treatment center. 5 months later, he was out drinking again. But my mom got into a program, and it seemed like the fights weren't as bad because she wasn't responding as much. She got my sister in. She didn't stay for long. Then I got in. And the first time I went, I was scared to death because there was this big guy there who was sponsoring. And he just wanted to cut us all down so bad. And I just, it was so, I felt so stupid. And so finally there was this new sponsor, and she has, I don't know if any of you guys know her, but her name is Debbie, and she is like the greatest sponsor in the world. I mean, I've only had like three or something, but she had all these stories to share with us. She didn't just sit there and listen to us, but she gave us so many things to relate to, and she made us feel like our feelings weren't so stupid. And so I kept going back, and I loved it because since I had been in the program a while, I could help other people, and that's what I needed more than anything. So I just wanted to help other people because I didn't know how to help myself yet. And slowly, it kind of let me come in contact with my own feelings. Now, I still can't really share with other people, and I can't really just come out and tell somebody how I feel. But I can bring them out to the open to myself and conquer them by myself, because even though I don't look like it, I'm a very strong person. And I know how to deal with my own fears and stuff now. I don't know what to say. I just know that now that everybody's in the program, even though my dad isn't, probably the one that needs it the most, it's helped, it's even helped him. Us being in there has helped him because he's like, everybody's off his back now, and so he's got to face up to it. It's his, it's something, now he's got to deal with his problem because everybody else, he can't blame anybody else anymore. It's his fault now, sort of. And, I mean, every once in a while, we kind of have our Al-Anon, Alateen slips. I know that Alateen, before I got into Alateen, I already knew a lot of the things they taught me because I was already convinced. You know, a lot of people say they thought it was their fault, but there's no way. I knew it wasn't my fault. And, I mean, I was convinced that it was kind of my dad's fault because if he loved us, he wouldn't do it. But he didn't beat us, so, you know, he must love us, kind of. So, I don't know how to end this. What should I say? Yeah, well, that's a good one, Lori. I'm so embarrassed. Somebody help me. See, I went off. Now, this is awful. When I found out I only had 20 minutes, I was so upset. I shortened my story down to about nothing, and now it's only been like 5 minutes. So I really apologize, and I want you guys to know that thanks to all of you and for making all this happen, I'm recovered, sort of. I mean, I'm getting there. And so, bye.
Hi, my name's Avian. This is my kitty. let's see. First of all, I'd like to say that just about everybody in my family is an alcoholic. I've got them coming out my ears. I became the mother at a very young age in my family. My mother was so out of life. I mean, here, let me tell you something about my family. My great-grandmother did not live with her mother. My grandmother did not live with her mother. My mother did not live with her mother. And I do not live with my mother. Think about that. But they're a loving family, I swear. They do. They love each other, and they just give you everything, and they just do anything for you because they're trying to make up for not being there when you really needed them. But, and then there's my dad's family, and they're more of a stern and they family. They don't, you can barely ever get them to talk. They don't smile. They just, and when they're together, it's, hi, how are you doing? And that's it. And maybe once in a while we'll talk. But it's, you know, they're here, some of them. But, you know, we're getting there. They're getting there because, you know, Aunt Kitty and I, we just, and Karen, we all just go in and we talk their ears off. But my family, we're getting there. We're getting better. A lot of us are in the program. But when I was younger, Aunt Kitty wasn't in the family. My dad didn't become like a real heavy drinker until my younger brother was born. I don't remember him being half as bad until my little brother was born. So when I was younger, my dad would be home and he'd go to work. I have no idea what he did. I knew he went to work, but I could not tell you what it was because it just was blocked. But I know that whenever I do something wrong, any little thing, he would, and this is the way he was brought up, that when we did something wrong, we were spanked, and not just spanked, we were beaten. And I was very young, and I was beaten. And so my dad loved me, and he wanted to do everything he could for me, but when I would do something wrong, he would really seriously hurt me. And so I do, sometimes when I do something wrong, I get extremely scared. And my dad does not do that anymore, but I'm scared of him, and I can't tell him everything because of that. My mother, he would beat my mother as well, and I think that's one of the reasons maybe she started drinking, or maybe because that was her cope. She'd go to her room, and I swear the woman would drink a whole bottle of NyQuil, and she would go to sleep at 8 o'clock, and we wouldn't see her the rest of the night, and sometimes we wouldn't even see her in the morning. So my mother's cope was to either drink a bottle of wine or a bottle of NyQuil or whatever she could get a hold of, and she would just go to her room, and my dad just wouldn't come home. And I know my dad would come home at night once in a while, and my mom would wait for him, and she'd go, well, where have you been, and why haven't you come home? Why didn't you call him? What have you been doing? And my brothers would come, and they'd get in bed with me. And so I couldn't take it very long because we had to go to get up and go to school. And we had to walk to the bus stop, which was a half a mile walk. So I would get up out of the bed, and I'd go in, and I'd say, you shut up right now. The neighbors don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Go to different corners of the house, and you stay away from each other till you are all right. And if you don't, I'm going to call the police, and they're going to come take you away. And, you know, and this was the same thing every 20 minutes. I never did it, but I would say it, and I'd go back to bed. because I was the adult of the family, or in my household anyway, I got everything I wanted. All I had to do was say I wanted it. I was wearing a bra when I was in the kindergarten. I had high heel shoes, and I was wearing makeup, and anything that was my mom was mine. So, you know, I got to do everything I wanted. I even had little kids. So, you know, I was just never a little kid myself, and I'd go outside to play, and my little brother would come with me. So my mom would say, all right, well, we'll take you so-and-so, and she would go out, and she would get drunk, or she'd get high with her friends, and I would make plans with my friends to go somewhere, and she wouldn't show up. And so after a while, I just stopped doing things. I would start cleaning the house, hoping that maybe someday somebody would come home. Because our house, my mother just did not clean. And when she did clean, it was like once a month. And usually the laundry was this high, and the dishes weren't washed, and everything was just really gross. And I tell you, we had bugs. and I have a fear of bugs because at night I would go to sleep and I would be scared to death something was going to crawl on me. So, you know, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to cleaning, except for my room. So, all the way up to the third grade, my dad would work with me at night, and he would have to study with me for a long time because I think maybe the way I sound things out, I don't spell things like everybody else does, and so he would have to pound that into my head, and he would scare me so much that I'd just sooner or later I'd learn it out of fear. Well, after the third grade, he stopped doing it, and so I stopped learning how to spell, and so I have to sound things out, and usually it's completely wrong. So, you know, my dad just stopped by the time I was in the third grade. By the time I was in the fourth grade, my dad got cancer. And up until this time, everything was going all right. He was drunk all the time, and I just knew that there was something wrong. I knew all the time that there was something wrong because the little girl down the street, her house was not like this. The other one down the street was like that, but I knew that my house should have been like the one down here. And she had everything she needed because her family could afford it. So here we are. My dad is dying of cancer, and I don't care. He done everything in the world to me to make me hate him. He made my mom miserable. He beat her up. We didn't have any money. He'd come home drunk. And I blamed everything on him, and I hated him. My dad was asleep, would lie on the couch, skinnier and growing skinnier day by day, and he would lose his hair. And at night he'd cry because he was in such pain. And I didn't care. I hated him so much. I wish he were dead. I told my mom several times, divorce him, get away from him. Do what you can, just get away from him. My mom said, no, we can't do that. He'll come after us. So I just stopped loving him. I just couldn't do it. I felt he didn't love me, so why should I bother? And that's the way I treat people. If I don't like you, and which is few, but when I don't like you, you better watch out. So here's my dad. He's dying on the couch, and I don't care. My house is a mess. My mom's crazy. My little brothers are in my charge, and I'm worried about what's going to be for dinner. And so 8 years old. And so my dad was slowly getting better. And I wore the same clothes for 3 years. And I don't know how I did it, but I did. And we never had anything. And I still cannot go shopping and look for clothes and actually touch those clothes and try on those clothes because I think I can't have them. I don't deserve it. There's not money for it. So by the time I was in the sixth grade, life was getting a little better. You know, I got contacts. I wasn't this fat little kid with glasses anymore. And my dad was getting better. I was going to be 13. I was getting better. My dad was getting better. And everything was getting better, sort of. My grandfather died a few weeks, I think, before my birthday. And that was a traumatic experience for me. I did not spend a lot of time with my grandfather. He was a very stern man. Nobody knows if he drank or not. We can never get anyone to tell us. But he had the characteristics, and sometimes he just scared me to death. And I just didn't like to be with him. So when he died, I just cried. And I cried for all night. And my mom called my dad, and she said, you know, Adrian's crying, and she's crying because your father died. And he got me on the phone, and he said, why are you crying? This was the day after he died. And I said, because I miss him. And so I was real upset about it. Well, my Aunt Bunny, who lives in Hawaii, had come back to be with her dad before he died. And one evening after the funeral or something, I don't know, we were washing dishes. And she said, well, why don't you come with me to Hawaii? And I was real excited. I just really wanted to go. And I said, well, I better ask my dad. So, you know, I said, Dad, you know, I really want to go to Hawaii. Can I go? And he said, yeah, go ahead. And so everything was arranged, and that June we went. So I was off in Hawaii, and the place we landed was in the middle of this lava flow. And I tell you, it was ugly. And I thought, who on earth said this place was beautiful? I wanted to go back to my hills with all the green and, you know. So I get there, and my Uncle Henry, he's Chinese, and he's just this, he doesn't drink, and he's a perfectionist, just like my Aunt Bunny, and you know, everything was wonderful. We did the same thing every day, by the hour, and and the first place he took me was the dump, and I did not see the islands. I didn't go to the beach for 6 weeks when I was there. And I didn't get to go anywhere. I didn't get to go to the, there was a mall, and it was on the other side of the island. It's called Hilo, where we went. I didn't go there till a year later. And I'd never seen any of this island except for when we would go out driving, and usually it wasn't very far. So, you know, because we were so busy in this perfectionist household that there wasn't any time for it, I'm sure. So I just never saw anything until I got involved in all these church things and Rainbow Girls and Girl Scouts, and I just went everywhere. Because of my Aunt Bunny, she wanted me to be real popular and everything. She just really wanted a lot from me. So I was in all these programs, and because I'm the controller of the house, I thought, well, here's somebody I can fix. And I would get in these meetings, and I would eventually I would just be in charge because everybody loved me, because I would just do anything you wanted me to do, and I was so mature, and I just knew my part and all this stuff. So I was eventually in charge of like 3 different meetings. So, you know, here I was, and I was going everywhere, and everybody knew me and all this stuff. And so life was great. I had everything I needed. I was happy. I was controlling everything. So we had the neatest 8th grade health class, and my teacher, she was neat. There were 4 people to a table, and we got to pick what we were going to learn in that class. And the thing I picked, or we had 2 topics we could pick, and we picked AIDS and Alateen. And what we got to do is we got to pick a speech. We got to get people to come in and talk to us all about it, and we had to have vocabulary words, and we could have information and all this stuff. So I started, you know, checking out Alateen. We got a speaker to come in, and she came in, and she sat us in a circle, and I tell you, every one of those kids in that room did not say a word, did not ask a question. Our teeth were on the floor. But her story was so different from mine. I just did not, you know, a lot of things she said, you know, I thought, you're stupid. Why? Your dad's an alcoholic. Your sister's an alcoholic. Why do you go out and drink? And I thought, you know, you're crazy. But some people, you know, they can, and they don't become alcoholics. But I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a disease. And maybe she left that out, or maybe I didn't hear it. But she was just real confusing to me, and I didn't really relate to her. I thought, you know, if that's the way that's going to be, I don't want to try that. So time to come back to West Virginia, and my Aunt Bunny's in her room, and she's cleaning out all the stuff, and she says, oh, Avon, here, this Aunt Kitty sent you this book. It was my little Alateen book. 2 years later, she gives it to me. And so I learned all about this stuff, and I read my book and everything, and I came back and see my brothers. They are know-it-alls about everything. You have to know a little bit about something when you talk to my brothers. So the only thing I really remembered about was this Alateen, because I had to really study it, and everything else they knew anyway. So we were in the car, and my dad was driving, and he had been in AA for about a year. And he was, you know, real excited about it. He wanted us all to be in it. And so I started talking about it, and I was telling my brothers all about it, you know. And he said, well, Avon, why don't you just go to a meeting? And I was like, okay, Dad. And so he'd take me to this place in Dunbar, which at the time didn't have a meeting. It had been closed for a while. But he showed me where it was, and he was ready for me to go. And he said, I'll take you some night. And I was like, well, Dad, I don't know. I'm busy that night. You know, I'd make all these excuses and stuff. And so I go home and I say, Aunt Kitty, you will not believe what Dad is trying to get me to go to. Wrong person to tell, don't you think? I end up going anyway. She takes me to this meeting, and the first people I meet, okay, are Megan and Lori. And I just think they are the neatest people. They're so happy, and they're so cheery, and they just like life. And for so long, I'd hated it. And I hated everybody, and I was miserable, even when I was controlling everything I did. So when I got into this meeting, I saw this, and I don't think we had a sponsor in there that night, and it wasn't very organized. So I looked around, and I thought, ha, here's another meeting I can take over. So, met Megan and Lori, and I wanted to take over this meeting and just get everybody healthy. And so I started listening, and I really adored Megan and Lori. They were just my inspiration. So I started coming back. There wasn't any cute guy there for me. I guess Aunt Kitty didn't know about it. So, I started going back and stuff. And I've really learned a lot because Aunt Kitty's in charge of, or she's somebody, and I don't know what she does. But anyway, she would get calls from these people to come talk at the schools. And she said, well, Ave, I'm going to go talk. Will you come with me? And so I'd go and I'd talk in front of all these kids. And my most traumatic experience was when I had to get up and tell my story in front of these ninth grade kids that I'm sure I knew one or two of them. So, I really, I've changed a lot. I'm more outgoing. I'm real, I'm more like Megan and Laura. I don't think anybody could be too much like them. But, I've my attitude has really changed. I'm not as much as a controller as I used to be. I still want to make my brother act decent in church and not sit there like a knot on a log, not knowing how to read and turning his book upside down. But I do better. I don't yell at him anymore, and I don't threaten him with my shoe. But I'm getting better. My mom will say, Avian, they're fighting. Go take care of them. And I'll say, no, they don't listen to me anymore. You're their mother. And I'm getting kicked, so I better shut up. But I'm getting better. The program's helping me, and I did eventually take over the meeting. But my dad, he got married, and I forgot to tell you because I always forget this. My dad got, and my mom got a divorce, and I usually forget it because after they got divorced, he moved back in. So, he got remarried, and I told my dad when I got back from Hawaii that I'd live with him. Well, I thought we were going to be living in West Virginia. And so he ends up moving to North Carolina. So now I'm going to Al-Anon instead of Alateen, but that'll change soon because I'm a controller and I'm going to get an Alateen meeting started. Well, I think I'm almost done, but I've got a poem, and I don't know if I have enough time, but this sort of sums it all up, and I wrote this for extra credit in English. It goes, many nights, Mommy would sit and worry, listening for the phone to ring and watching out the window, wondering if Daddy would get home safely, or she would get a phone call saying that he had been found dead. This is not a happy home. This poor woman, what craziness she goes through. Her moods depend on his moods. Her thoughts remain on him. This is not a nurturing home. Janie, poor Janie, always busy, busy trying to keep the house and family normal, for mother has no time for such. This is not a normal home. And Andy, quiet little Andy, he too is busy, busy being quiet, trying not to rock the boat, because he knows that when Daddy gets home, Mommy gets mad, and you better watch out. This is not a stable home. Cindy, lost little Cindy, what to do in such a crazy family? Read, watch TV, or stay in your room? Sometimes, though, you do come out looking for a hug, only to find a slap or just plain rejection. This is not a loving home. Each one in this family thinks that he or she is the one that causes all the problems, except for Daddy. He's sure that if everyone else were better, then he wouldn't have to drink. This is not a normal home, but Daddy, like most daddies, feels that he has no problem, that he needs no help. And why should he? He goes to work every day, and he only drinks after hours. It's just a few beers. And Mommy, oh, what a fool you are, because your opinion's Daddy's opinion. You feel there is no problem, but you're miserable anyway. This is not an honest home. Janie, Andy, and little Cindy will continue to hide their problems, to let everyone else think that their home is normal, but it's not. But guess what? There is a problem, a family problem, that is making your lives miserable. Quit living in your world of denial. Get some help. Because your home is not happy, loving, normal, nurturing, stable, healthy, or honest. But it could be. Thank you.